I'm Daniel Enzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matter Studios. Western New York Soundstage looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Today's guest is Adrienne Salmon from Buffalo Ironworks. We discuss the Buffalo Ironworks venue, the extraordinary events at the venue, the pandemic's effects on Buffalo Ironworks, and get a preview of Cobblestone Live. It's a great episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
All right, great. If you wouldn't mind saying your name and then saying your title.
All right, Adrienne Salmon, and I'm the marketing director for Buffalo Ironworks, 26 Productions, and Cobblestone Live Music and Arts Festival.
Great. Thank you so much, Adrienne. Thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today. It's so nice to meet you.
So nice to meet you as well. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for a listener who's not been to Buffalo Ironworks, how might you describe the venue?
We are a 500 capacity venue right in the historic Cobblestone District in downtown Buffalo, New York. So we're right next to the arena. We have we have local artists, we have national artists. We try to have live music at least 3 to 5 days per week. Obviously the last 2 years, you know, kind of didn't do that as well, but yeah, so we're a full bar, we have a kitchen. It's just a really fun place for people to gather, and spirits are always high. We just push local music and live music as much as we possibly can and hope that people show up and enjoy it.
Yeah. Awesome. Why is Buffalo Ironworks important to the Cobblestone District?
Well, I mean, I think the Cobblestone District and how we say with Cobblestone Live as well is like, it's really just a breeding ground for live music and entertainment. And it's continued to grow into that. You know, we have Helium Lock House, which hopefully is reopening soon. And they have a little stage in the back of their distillery, which is a really awesome space for live music. I know the Draft Room now has live music often. It's really become this space where you can go not only for a Sabres game or a really large format show at the arena, but you can also catch some local music. You can go to Ballyhoo for a nice cocktail and then come over to Ironworks and enjoy live music. So it's really just become a space for that. And I think Ironworks is one of the most important parts of that, and especially Cobblestone Live, where we're all coming together to bring something to the community that is really just grassroots. There's just such a good feeling to it. And, you know, I love comedy too. So like, got Helium and right behind us. It's so important to the community and to have a place to go to find live music and experience something new. We really want people to like just randomly come through, and that's why it's great to be by the arena too, come through and be like, oh my God, that band was incredible. And that happens 99% of the time when somebody's coming that they have no idea what Ironworks is, and they come through and they see this jam band from, you know, Denver, and they're like, what was that? They were amazing. And it's like, yeah. So it's just really important for people to get outside of their comfort zone and experience something that they might not have otherwise.
You mentioned the arena, and it seems like Buffalo Ironworks would have like a huge impact sort of economically, but also on the development of the Cobblestone District. Is that correct?
I think so. I mean, we really take pride in what we offer to that area. And, you know, we have even just like our alleyway having local art on it. You know, we really do want to lift that area up and be able to offer the community something new. It's definitely one of the more important parts of that area, I believe. Yeah.
Great. If I wanted a night out, can I just go to Buffalo Ironworks, or do I need tickets?
So yeah, unfortunately, we are only open. I mean, unfortunately, but it helps us, of course. So we are only open when we have shows or when there is an arena event. Yeah, you do need a ticket, but typically you're not seeing a ticket higher than $15 to $20. I mean, we do have bigger shows that come through where you're seeing a little bit higher, but you know, there's really no problem in selling something like that. Like, we always, Josh is really committed. So Josh Holtzman, the owner of Ironworks, he really is committed to offering that affordable experience where you can go out and have just a night out on the town and not breaking the bank, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it definitely seems like if there's something I'm super interested in, I need to get a ticket, or else if I am at sort of the arena, I could chance it, which could be cool, but I could also be sort of not able to get in either. So I think getting a ticket definitely seems like the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you see that so often where people are like, you know, either upset with the ticket price, and it's like, what, you know, we gotta make a business run here.
Well, that's it too, right? And I mean, I'm sure that the breakdown, so I think what people don't realize kind of sometimes about the economics of the arts industry is that, like, that ticket price, that, like, it sounds like Ironworks is really doing a great job to keep it sort of low and accessible to a number of people, but also that gets split up in a lot of different ways. The venue gets a small portion of that. The artist has to get a portion of that. Just to sort of keep the kind of lights in the back of house stuff going gets a portion of that. So, I mean, that is an incredibly affordable ticket for seemingly what you're going to get at Ironworks, which is like an amazing show.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like I said before, just experiencing something new that you, I mean, we have like JD Simo coming through next week, and he is one of the greatest blues artists that this country has produced. And there's something to be said about being able to see him for $15. Like, it's just, even if you don't realize it, it is, you know, and he needs to make a living.
Right.
So at the very least, it's, yeah, you know, people, you hear all the time, pay local artists, pay artists. And is it really happening? Well, Josh is trying to make it happen. People like Josh, of course, there's so many people in this community lifting that up. But, you know, we want to make sure everybody wins, and especially the community. So.
And the fastest way that I can ensure that local artists are paid is to buy a ticket to see a local artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't try to get on the guest list.
Great. Well, you know, I'm wondering, so the varied nature of the programming at Buffalo Ironworks is really impressive. And we've kind of talked a little bit about some of the acts that are coming or will come. Now, I don't know exactly when this episode will come out. So we may want to keep this a little general, so a listener isn't like, oh, this person's coming next week, and then they're not coming next week because it's coming out sort of in May or June or July. Or if a listener wants to go into the back catalog of this podcast and listen, you know, in 2 years. But I'm interested to know what goes into creating the events calendar, and how does Ironworks find new or upcoming talent?
So, I mean, booking is still a mystery to me. I mean, I don't have anything to do with the booking side of things, but what I do know is that booking agents will not really speak to you unless you have built a name for yourself in the industry. That's why you see these venues, you know, you'll see a venue try to start up and they fail right away because booking agents for national acts aren't even going to speak to them. So you really just have to know how to talk to them, first of all, and, you know, show with your track record, like whether you came from the artist side of things. Like Josh did come from artist management. So, you know, he grinded in his 20s and found that kind of just like way into the industry. And it's funny to me that, you know, one person can book a whole festival and a person that might have the money might not be able to just because they don't have a name in the industry. So what goes into booking a show and then, you know, getting it out in front of people really is Josh is either receiving inquiries because we've built Ironworks into what it is. And, you know, an artist is either familiar with us already, they've played with us before, and they're choosing us no matter what. Or we're getting an EPK or, you know, the portfolio of an artist, and they're saying, hey, we think that we'd be a good fit here. We don't really have a market history in Buffalo, but, you know, we'd love to show you that we think we can sell tickets in your market. And Josh might be taking a chance on them, which does happen like pretty often, but, you know, they get that first try here in Buffalo and maybe it's a loss for us, but, you know, that's part of that. That's just a really big part of what we have built at Ironworks. So then from there, I mean, what Josh is going in, he's checking the numbers, what's going to work for us, what's going to work for them to actually get them on our stage, and then sends it over to me. And my, so we also have a website guy. So every time there's a show announcement, everything gets sent over and kind of just like unloaded onto us. And then we make sure it's live on the website, on the socials. I run social media ads, and hopefully it gets in front of everyone's face and they want to come to the show and they want to take a chance, or maybe it's an artist they're familiar with and they're thrilled. Or yeah, I mean, you know, I'm starting to see a lot more that there's a little bit of an oversaturation in the market now with COVID ending. So I'm trying to find new ways to reach people. And of course, something like this is awesome. And just working with a lot of local people in the community to make sure that we're just front and center for anybody that wants to see live music.
Yeah, it's definitely clear just looking at the website just and the different acts that are coming in, the amount of back end time it takes just to, I'm sure, like select those artists, vet those artists, see if they'll work in the area, market them, all that sort of stuff is an incredible amount of work. And I think what's so great about what Ironworks offers too is that there really seems to be a balance between kind of, I'll say, nationally renowned acts, but also or nationally known acts and more lesser known artists. And I think it seems like there's a real sense of care taken to balance those two kinds of artists.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you always want to be lifting up the local community, but at the same time, we want to have people aware that we can bring a show. We can bring somebody, like we have a poster upstairs of the Struts from, like, I believe they were here. They were at Ironworks in like 2014 or something. And the ticket was $10. So it's like, you know, just being on the forefront. Josh is, that is one thing. And especially with Cobblestone Live, we're restricted with our capacities. And with Cobblestone Live, we're restricted with the size of the stage that we can even have. When people are complaining about our lineup, it's like, well, okay, first of all, we'll let it go. But second of all, like, what you have to understand is that our stage now, like the person that we had play on our stage in 2019, but like, for example, Billy Strings, there isn't a stage that we could fit on the cobblestone streets that's big enough for him to approve even playing here. So we're backed into a corner with what we're able to do. And then, but also it's exciting because you can have that, like we had Billy Strings in 2019, we had the Struts in 2014. And it's like, then we get that reputation of like, oh, that venue gets artists before they get big. And we see that happen all the time where an artist comes through and then 1 year later they're at Ballroom, like guaranteed dogs in a pile that played with us in February this year. They will probably for certain be playing at Town Ballroom the next time they come to Buffalo because they're just blowing up. And like Goose, we had at the drive-in last summer, they're already too big for us. They're already too big for the drive-in. Like they just blew up. So it's a weird balance, but it Josh does it well and we all roll with it and make it happen.
Well, and it's important to come out and support these people too, but also it could be sort of a priceless story for you that like I saw this act when before anyone even knew who they were, right? And
yeah.
So that's priceless.
Oh yeah. I mean, I cry every year at Cobblestone Live because you can't even help yourself. You know, you get goosebumps and then it's like I definitely cried during Billy String's set because it was apparent, you know, even if you're not in the industry, you know, that you're looking at something special, you know, and it happens. It happens weekly at Ironworks. It really does. Whether it's a local that, you know, even if I know them personally and I know they don't want to outgrow the area. I know they just want to play in Buffalo and support the local music scene for years to come. that's still, I mean, what, that's, there's something so special to be said about all of it. So, yeah.
In addition to the nationally renowned and sort of vetted local acts, it seems like you also have an open stage program. What kinds of performances do you see at open stage nights, and how does Buffalo respond to seeing local talent on a local stage?
So open stage nights have been really exciting for us so far. So we started them in December. Unfortunately, January we had to skip just because of COVID stuff. Right in the beginning, it's the first Tuesday of every month. So we have seen a growth in it thus far, which is amazing for us. And it was really our one of our bartenders, Jess Uhas, came to us with the idea because she's kind of a budding artist herself. So the community has come out in a big way for this, especially the local music community. I know at the first couple, we had Pharaoh and like almost their whole band came and like hopped on stage at the end with the open jam. And also I have to shout out to Mikey Karuba, so formerly of Turquoise, and we're all kind of friends with him. So he has offered up running the backlined open jam at the end of the open stage night. So even just for him to be there, willing to give Buffalo his talents essentially for free. I mean, it is a donation-based program, and I know people are coming out in a big way and donating. So the response has been great, and I think it's going to continue to grow. Summer's a little bit of a tough time for us because there's so much happening outdoors, but I know that once we pick it back up in the fall, you know, we'll really see everyone come out, and I know the local artists are, it's giving them a chance to get up on stage and show what they've got. And, you know, we're super happy to be able to offer it. It's just, it was a no-brainer, really. So, and Josh being in support of something like that, that could be just opening the doors at Ironworks, is, can be a loss sometimes when you're not seeing a lot of people actually come through the door. So just recognizing that that's something that the community needs and wants, and then running with it has been very special, and we see a lot of artists hop on stage. So I encourage anybody to come and just see what's up. And usually it always is something very special. A jam just blossoms, and it's always fun.
What's a show you'll never forget seeing at Buffalo Ironworks?
Oh man, I want to think about one. So I bartend as well most nights. So I want to think of one that happened before I bartended. So Too Many Zoos is one of my favorites. I love like brass. So they came to us fall 2019, and they played with us multiple times, but they're like one of the groups that started up in the New York City subways. And just the energy is so awesome. And you know, he gets off stage and just like goes through the crowd with his sax or his bass clarinet and just, you know, dancing. And, you know, it's so unique. Not that there aren't Buffalo artists doing unique things, but I think it's like when you see somebody come through and they have such an eclectic energy and such an eclectic style, and then they're projecting that in such a fun way to the audience, that's something people need to see. That was a special show back in fall 2019. And then recently we had Dirty Dozen Brass Band. So Big Easy and Buffalo came, they brought that show to us. And what isn't special about New Orleans brass? And just like a full band just playing brass and loving it. So that was a special one too.
It must have been really difficult to run a music venue through the pandemic, or a bar music venue kind of hybrid. What have been some of the challenges, and how did you persevere?
It's challenging, number one, to keep we were so lucky, first of all, I do have to say, just to get ahead of it, like we had all staff come back pretty much with a couple exceptions. All of our staff wanted to be back, whether it was behind the pine in the kitchen, management, you know. So we were so, so lucky for that. And the challenges there were just really keeping everybody positive. You know, you're back, you're not making the money that you're used to making. You know, you're kind of sacrificing like the unemployment thing, which is still like kind of mind blowing to me. So unemployment is gone, right? But like people still were having staffing issues. So that's been, you know, now that we're getting busier, we're really struggling to find people that want to work. So that's been a unique one because I don't really understand like where people have gone. So that's been a challenge. But aside from that, I do have to say, you know, the challenges for my end with marketing was the extra workload it was just to like make sure people knew our policies. Like we were vax only for a while. So that's a whole extra email that I have to send every single morning of every show, an extra post I have to do. So it was an extra workload for me. I mean, Josh as well, you know, Grace having to tell all of the artists like, hey, like this is what we're doing, da, 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 da. And then we would have artists that would totally not be okay with that. And they would be like, well, no, you have to go by hours. And then you have the patron complaining because they have to bend to the artist or were bending to the artist and they're upset about it. And obviously it's a little more challenging than I first said. It was very challenging and it was hard not to just keep your head up, especially in a position of management where you're supposed to bring up other people as well. I know Grace, our GM, myself and Josh really did. That was probably the number one struggle, is to make sure that our staff wasn't feeling it too hard. I would never want the reason a staff member is getting yelled at by somebody to be like, because I didn't send an email that morning or because, you know, somebody didn't get an email that morning. And these things happen, right? We're all resilient. We work in this industry for a reason. It was rough, but you know, now we're picking up the pieces and moving forward. And now, you know, we saw an immediate spike in ticket sales when all the mandates lifted and, you know, it's starting to look like it did pre-COVID. And then we have summer coming. So there's that. So, and Cobblestone Live, we're so excited for. So
many businesses had to make a pivot during the pandemic. Are there any new opportunities or plans that are going to be developed on the horizon?
I think right now we're really just trying to like get things back to the way they were. So I don't want to say anything that would be out of line, but what we're really trying to do is kind of integrate. So 26 Productions is an event production company that Josh and Grace started in 2020, actually. We ran the drive-in shows. So 26 was born from the pandemic, essentially, and Cobblestone Live and having those outdoor music experiences. So the opportunities that are going to come with 26 Productions are a big focus of ours, of Josh, Grace, and myself. We want to have college students come in. We want to offer internships, whether it's through 26 for a vendor show or through Ironworks, if somebody just wants to work the box office a few nights a week and just see the way a venue works. You know, working on my side of things, that is one thing that we really want to build up moving forward. And working with organizations such as Buffalo Rising, that would be so exciting for us to just be able to reach the community in a different way. And really that is my focus with marketing and trying to opportunize there is, how do I bring a different experience or how do I reach a market that I've probably never reached before? So yeah, there's just a lot in the pipeline for sure. And 26 is a big reason for that. And Ironworks is a huge way that we can showcase that. So
what was the first night like when you reopened?
It's a little weird. We had, oh my gosh, I wish I could remember who it was. It was August. We like weren't ready to reopen. Our permits were expired. And the artist told us like a week before, like I think the plan was like, hey, we're not ready. You know, we don't even know if we have bartenders for that night. Like, and the show was actually selling pretty well. So like a week before, I think the artist was like, oh no, you're having the show. Cause they were on tour and they were routing through Buffalo. It was awkward, but also everybody was so happy to see live music. So, you know, masked up and having some drinks and dancing and enjoying the crowd. It was a great, it was a really awesome show.
It's funny, right? When I prepped this sort of interview and I wanted to ask this question, I was thinking in my head, like, you know, the story will be like, and then, like, you know, the lights came on and we all wept on the stage. I so appreciate your candor about, like, hey, it was great and it was fun and we were nervous. And but in my mind, I was thinking, like, I walked in and wept when I saw the, you know, the empty stage for the first time and they turned on the lights.
Maybe we should get another person to be. I'm excitable for sure, but
yeah, well, when we do the movie version of this interview, we'll kind of set that up perfectly. So it's like, you know, like that.
And I also saw, and you know what didn't hit me until, you know, I really got behind the bar was how many people did not see live music for 2 years. 'Cause I did the whole time. So, I mean, I think my first show in the pandemic, because we did the whole drive-in series at the Transit Drive-In, I think my first show was only like 2.5 or 3 months after the pandemic started. And then, you know, there was a bad drought with that through winter 2020, spring 2021. Other than that, I mean, I wasn't missing it as much as other people were, but that was, yeah, to try to get into that, you know, just feel what people were feeling. I can mention how many times people came up to me and they're like, oh my God, this was so amazing. This is the first show I've seen since beginning of March 2020. And, you know, you feel that's when I really did feel it is through the people. And that's how we feel, you know, in this industry, that is where we feel it is watching people enjoy it. The lights came on, the band came out, so energized.
Now you're just making fun of me.
No, I am. I'm like, Grace would be like, oh my God, it was amazing. And I'm just like, yeah, it was great.
Well, it was great. And let me ask, are there any plans to bring back the drive-in concerts?
So I think we are in talks with Silver Lake again. So the one that's in Perry, which is only a short drive from Buffalo, might I add. So we are in talks because who knew prior to COVID that the drive-ins are an absolutely perfect setting for a live show. And without cars, we could fit 5,000 to 6,000 people at the Silver Lake drive-in. I know there's a couple more in this area that can fit even more. So I know that it's something that we're not interested in doing away with, that's for sure. But the focus this summer for outdoor, especially with, you know, leading up to it, is Cobblestone Live. And really making sure that that can be a festival that we can offer moving forward. We want to make sure that this summer is just the rebirth and the longevity of Cobblestone Live. So, yeah.
So we've mentioned Cobblestone Live a couple of times. Would you tell our listeners just what it is and where they can get tickets?
So Cobblestone Live is a music and arts festival. It is in the historic Cobblestone District in downtown Buffalo. So it spans the street in front of Ironworks. So Illinois Street goes down South Park and then also includes Columbia, which Lockhouse is also a partner in the festival. So we bring 4 stages. We typically bring anywhere from 15 to 20 artists. We have interactive experiences. We have an experience stage where we try to bring in aerialists and Squeeze and Thanks actually performed 1 year, and he's an accordionist that just has like this wonderful energy. And we have vendors, we have food trucks, we have craft beer. It's family friendly, 10 and under free. So it is the primary way that we think that we can like put the Cobblestone District on the map for being that entertainment district and a breeding ground for live music and entertainment. You know, we see anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people. We're hoping that it can grow with the years to come. It started very small, very grassroots, and it's more work than I've ever had to do on something with the chance that it could flop or the weather could ruin it. So there's really, like I said before, there's nothing like seeing that artist come out and seeing the crowd just go wild and filling the streets. And it's just something that we want the entirety of Buffalo to be able to come and experience. And yeah, this year we have Mr. Wives headlining, Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. So we're kind of trying to, this year is a little different because it has been like a very jam-based festival in the past with maybe like one indie headliner to try to bring in like another type of crowd. But this year we're like really doing like one day kind of indie rock alt to try to get a whole new audience. And then one day is like very jam-based to get like our old crew in. And the tickets are so ridiculously affordable. Anybody that has been like saying like, well, what day does so-and-so play? I'm like, this day, however, we actually just announced the daily lineups yesterday. This day, however, like the tickets for the whole weekend are $15 more and you're seeing another 10 to 12 artists, you know? So it is a special festival and you don't see festival tickets as affordable as this. So with the intent that people will just come out and give it a chance, even if they don't recognize the headliner or, you know, they're not a fan of which way we've taken it this year or whatnot, it's going to be fun regardless. If you've come in the past, you know, it's going to be fun. It'd probably be fun if there was one artist playing. Like, it's just, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So yeah. So I want everyone to come. Oh, and you can get tickets at cobblestonelive.com or 26productions.com. So it's 20 spelled out, 6 the numeric digit, and productions.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Why is it important to have something like Cobblestone Live in Buffalo?
Well, I mean, if you look at most larger cities right now, they almost all have their own large festival. I mean, Lollapalooza, I'd say, was the birthplace of real city urban festival. And I just think it's so important to bring people to the downtown community. And I mean, look at Buffalo 10 years ago, would something like this, probably closer to 15 years ago, would something like this have been able to happen, even just through the city? You know, it's really just, it's a place for you to be able to experience something that you haven't experienced. And I mean, it's an ode to the arts. It's an ode to live music and what it can bring to people's lives. I think it's just so important to have a city be able to offer something like that. I mean, and it could grow into something where we have people traveling from across the country to come to see this festival. So any way to get people attracted to come to this area and move downtown, or, I mean, of course we're seeing all of that happen, and who that's moving into downtown Buffalo doesn't want to be like, oh my God, come, you know, friends from college, like come the weekend of, you know, July 15th and 16th, there's an amazing festival that we have going on. It would be best way for us to all unite. It's just a way to be able to show that we are like a city that is committed to the arts and to live music in a bigger way than just having some venues that play music.
Fantastic. Well, my last question is this. I think that the logo for Buffalo Iron Works is so cool. Do you sell t-shirts?
We do. Yeah. Yeah, we have baseball tees. We have zip-ups, hoodie zip-ups, regular t-shirts. We just got a whole shipment in. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I will have to get one. I will definitely have to get one. I'd like to just ask at the end of the interview, is there anything that you feel left unsaid or that you'd like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
Oh man, I don't think so. Just come out, see a show. And you know, I even personally would love to see an influx of people reaching out to me to want to be involved and do more with us. So, you know, head to our website, buffaloironworks.com, see what we've got going on the calendar. And we are just willing to work with people in so many different ways. There's so many opportunities to be involved with Buffalo Iron Works. So And Cobblestone Live and 26. So yeah, never hesitate to reach out. And it's an industry that can blossom into something really beautiful if we all let it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. Have a good one.
We'll be back soon with more episodes where we will explore our local creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. Jessica Marinelli produced this episode. Addison Schoonmaker engineered.